the meeting of the G7 in Okinawa that told us the rich countries are going to eliminate the death of all the countries. Everybody is going to struggle against poverty. Everybody applauded. However, there is no money has been put forward. We have not annulled the debt in the country. The situation in the South continues to deteriorate, and the only thing that can that the United Nations were able to respond to this was Kofi Annan 2 weeks ago proposed what we call the global pact. What is this global pact? He got 60 multinational countries together and said it would be very nice if you could all respect a good conduct code at the international level. And then we, Amnesty Natural was there, and Greenpeace and Human Rights Watch, who applauded this initiative of the UN. Our problem is that we always have the impression that this, from the perspective of globalization, isn't where we should be taking. This isn't the side that we should be taking it from. At the level of resistance of the different peoples, and in different local situations, this can translate into different modifications of the overall situation. So, around Quebec 2001, we have taken on the subject of continental integration. And what do we mean by continental integration? What we mean is that we're going to integrate everybody, and integrate everybody in the Americas means, to some extent at least, make everybody the same. And in terms of trade, in terms of investments, it's everything. We're going to replace the state with the markets, to get rid of all barriers, etc. And what we saw already with NAFTA is that the process that we call harmonization, this means that the rules of management, not only of the economy, but at the level of the social level as well, must be harmonized internationally. And this means that, for example, on what refers to unemployment insurance, we have to have the same type of system as in the United States. Because if we don't, then this is an unloyal competition with the Americans. And I presume the same situation, that they try to apply the same question to the Americans. This harmonization process negates the specificities of the different populations, and it also negates, and this negation leads to a reaction. And when we talk about a reaction, what it means is it generates reactionaries, and it causes identifying reaction, nationalist and isolationist, and sort of folding back on one itself. And to negate all international solidarity as a means of solving problems in front of the same, in terms of the same cause. So for us, our question for today is, in respect to each different country, in respect to each different political situation, that we would like to integrate into an harmonization, what are the dynamics of social transformation, of political transformation, and economic transformation that we would like to put all together through this integration process? In each country, what are we putting together? What are we destroying? What are we trying to destroy? And what, in consequence, is the reason that for the struggle in each of the different countries? So when we started putting forward this analysis for the first time, somebody said, you're for the slogan, I go with everybody. Everybody's demands are my demands. In a certain sense, this is true, because it isn't true that when we're facing globalization and a continental integration, the problems of Argentina are the same as the problems of Chile or of Peru. Each person is presented with the same process, but with its own special conditions. These particular conditions for the struggle is what we need to take into account if we're going to have any kind of impact on what is going to happen in Quebec in 2001. If we're all here to say we're against globalization, we don't have any precise impact on the process. So here we have people from many different countries who have come to explain what the different struggles are and what the different contradictions that they're facing in the different countries in respect to globalization and economic integration of the whole, of the continent. I know I've been going on for very long. Marcela is making gestures at me. I wasn't invited to speak, so I was just invited to introduce, so I'll take the time to speak anyway. So we have four speakers this morning from Mexico, Chile, Canada, and Quebec, Brazil, excuse me, not Chile, Brazil. So we're going to, they're going to speak one after the other and explain what is the situation of the resistance to continental economic integration in each other country.
From a country where the characters from Brazil, which is vis-à-vis the integration and globalization, economic globalization in the world, independently of the of every country. And the integration happening in different ways, and the political and economic effects are different in every regional country. So from this view, is that I'm going to talk from our interpretation of Brazil vis-à-vis the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas. So I like to situate you in the current political situation in Brazil, the framework where the exhaustion of neoliberal policies that are very visible in Brazil.
Existe a formulação de alternativas para se sair do neoliberalismo.
There is a proposal to get out of neoliberalism in Brazil. There are proposals on the right wing sectors, on the center, and the leftist political sectors. So that it's important to understand that after
desde a perspectiva democrática, desde
a important sector, which is about a third of the population that see this from a democratic and popular perspective, like the people that vote for the Workers' Party, an social organization like the Landless Movement, that see this from a mobilization that is democratic and popular, that are dealing with the challenges that we are dealing at the present time. So this is the way that we are looking at the process that is going to end up with FTAA and Quebec 2000. I hope that we can debate starting from that point of view. From a country that is different to Mexico and that is very sometimes difficult to understand, perhaps. First of all, I came here. What I can talk about the main characteristic of my country is a country that historically has been marked by economic disparities that are strong. The gap is deep. Social inequalities have been always wide and deep. Since the process of modernization, of industrialization in the 50s, the social exclusion, the social apartheid, is the mark of the capitalist movement in Brazil. The development is always excluding important sectors of the population at the national level. We're talking about a country that is economically dependent. It's socially unequal. but it's economically dependent. That the movement of capital and finances and technological, commercial,
impedem that, um país com os that, potenciais naturais that, e com a
block the possibilities of kind of development, since although the country is wealthy,
possa até agora my country desenvolver as bases de modelo econômico not, próprio.
Cannot enjoy the possibility of build up
fundadas e voltadas para o mercado interno,
economic development,
baseadas na distribuição da riqueza,
based
na
on
seleção
the,
de mecanismos distribution de política exterior
para
promover international uma inserção internacional, uma relação com outros países em bases
itself
que
internationally in the market,
as necessidades internas
but
que
it's
são
not
imensas.
The necessity, internal necessity, needs are so large and big that the model is not focusing on that. But this is a country that is subordinated, socially and
equal,
economically dependent, and politically subordinated to decisions that are taken outside our borders by international organisms that make decisions and define our, the basis of our political economic policies.
And
that, so it's a country that has to follow models defined by the IMF and the World Bank and other entities.
Eu gostaria de lembrar
I'd like to recall that these political decisions that are taken beyond the Brazilian borders are different for every country. For instance, some aspects of it and the consequences of the World Trade Organization, the European Union, for instance,
promote
agricultural subsidies, agricultural subsidies that to develop the agricultural sector. Because in Europe, the agriculture is a priority to provide food for the poor.
Is
considered as a source of traditional ways of organization of the countryside, because they believe that that way of producing is part of a tradition that has to be preserved and maintained. So they try not to stay away from the
World Trade Organization rules,
but those, but in the case of Brazil, conditions are much more perverse, and we have to implement
it. Para citar exemplo
an example,
Brasil e Canadá.
The relation between Brazil and Canada, the relationship between Embraer and the playmakers Bombardier,
is
all this relation. The working conditions in Bombardier are much better than the Brazilian ones, but they are. That's why Brazilians are more competitive internationally, because the conditions are lower. They're not the same. So this is one.
A partir de regras iguais entre concorrentes desiguais.
So what the conditions are unequal in one sense, and the setting for competition is unequal.
Já que me parece que tais regras que dão continuidade
that this is that
create
that give continuity
is
determined by the international financial institutions related to
tendem a
comercialization of services and
ainda mais
production
e tend podem contribuir para aprofundar ainda mais os desequilíbrios e desigualdades internacionais
and to widen the imbalance, social imbalance nationally and internationally.
É desde essa perspectiva que no Brasil se considera em amplos setores,
is considered in large sectors,
se considera que um acordo nos moldes da ALCA, zona de
micro-regiões,
é impossível que seja um acordo justo.
It's impossible that
as desigualdades econômicas
fair
existentes entre os
agreement
because of
the asymmetries of the countries,
members
countries of the
TAA. Que conformam o NAFTA,
the countries of the NAFTA,
88% do produto
more than 80% of the continental GDP
está nos países do NAFTA. Nos países do Mercosul,
the countries of the Mercosul,
o Brasil,
Brazil,
o Paraguai, Paraguai, Uruguai, Argentina,
estão
apenas 8%.
Hold only 8% of the GDP, and the rest is divided
então,
among the rest of the countries. So the economic imbalance is gigantic between those countries.
And
within these countries,
between
corporations and companies that are at the engines of the commercial liberalization,
deste processo de globalização neoliberal. E essa desigualdade
should be considered.
Eu costumo dizer
I have to say
que campeonato
that,
de futebol e a ALCA poderia se assemelhar na medida
day
que
we have
você
a soccer game between the Mercosur
within the
FTAA can be competitive if we have the same soccer field with the same kind of players,
competindo com o Brasil,
and that you can all get together and to play against Brazil, we'll see who will win this. I mean, I said you can make a selection of player from everywhere against Brazil, even including the Mexicans. So who will win? So this is part of the symmetries that we are dealing with in different
ways.
I don't know who's going to win. We only know that
the
United States, the main, the most important. Now he's talking in French now.
Oh.
He's trying to implement fast the FTAA now. They are the Brazilian of this contest.
É por isso que para nós,
that's why for us. Yes, don't fool us, Renato.
É por isso que desde a perspectiva de país como Brasil,
from this perspective of a country like Brazil, the priority in the internal politics,
é o fortalecimento da integração regional.
The integration, the regional integration is more strong at the level of Mercosul than the FTAA in Brazil, especially the less is very strong in that prospect, in that context, because it creates a space of economic integration and participation of the market in the market, and also a social integration through a mechanism of dialogue and participation that are existing now in the Mercosul agreement, but not in the FTAA. This is strengthening. The strengthening of this experience can, in the future, allow a better dialogue, a little bit more balance between the countries of the South and the big power of the North that that one, the implementation of the FTAA in 5 more minutes. The integration and these circumstances, it would be a disaster. From our view, from the point of view of the labor movement and political party of the left and social organization, we have to fight this initiative. Because we have to establish a fair and just agreement, although we are unequal countries and actors. So it's not enough to fight. It's not enough to fight this initiative, but it's important, moreover, most important than anything, to formulate a new modus of integration, different ones. There is a social energy, there is political will, there are political and social movements at the international and national level that are evolving, that can evolve into that way. That we have the challenge to think what are the bases of integration model. In which we can integrate other sectors, at the national level that are not present at the present time, but they could converge in a process, a more just process and more balanced process. In Brazil, at this present time, we have a situation, a particular situation. After a decade of 10 years of economic adjustment, the implementation of ultra-liberal policies and a unilateral opening of the commerce, the tariff of the year 50 that it used to be 50% are now 50%, 15% without negotiation. An agreement of anyone. So the process of privatization of the state, all the public service and everything is being privatized. There is the process of dismantling the state, the Brazilian state. From the beginning of the century, was the main engine of social and economic and educational development. But from in the 90s, at the end of the century, we were subordinated to the market positions.
Passado uma década dessa experiência, o que nós verificamos? Que este modelo, se ele é capaz de gerar e, sobretudo, acumular
wealth.
Por outro lado, ele aprofundou como nunca
has been able to do that, but also has deepening the contradiction, the social and economic contradiction in my country. The inequality, the concentration of their income concentration, the unemployment, the growing, steady growing of the informal labor sector, given an outcome. So this is what we have experienced after 10 years. Today, society the Brazilian society is not, it's against, it's not a strong movement, but it's not a revolutionary movement, but there is an organized resistance, an important demonstration in this mobilization at the present time. Today they can listen to each other.
They are not
persuaded anymore. Like 10 years ago,
when
the neoliberal discourse was hegemonic. I wouldn't say that it's not exhausted. I wouldn't say that it's exhausted, but that it's not legitimated anymore. That does not enjoy legitimation.
This is
an important factor. It's a fundamental political factor to do politics, to build up something. Because our action, because our actions are going to contribute to the
legitimate this
model.
In
the middle of the crisis of this model,
there are alternatives,
very timid alternatives that are not even alternatives. On the right wing sector, for
which proposes to intensify
neoliberal policies,
for instance,
that they see that there is a crisis, but they want to move the agenda much further. They want to implement the neoliberal policies in a full dimension, more privatization, lower salaries, and so on. But there exists, and there are people that are behind supporting them. There is a more intelligent sector that is not. It's not necessarily that the right wing. They want a reorganization of the model, a review of the model, and they have resources of the World Bank for that. They have the support of the strong countries, powerful countries. Instead of changing the economic policies, they propose the human face of the model, to humanize the model, to try to give a little bit of social services here, there, in a way to improve the social dimension of it. In the left, more and more in Brazil, it's become more large, a more powerful, a democratic proposal.
The excluding
model that exists, when the 70s, they defeat the proposal of the left in the 70s.
So,
At the time, we could even knock the door of the power to get in,
but we were defeated.
But a populist discourse with the slogan of the left to cover. During all this time, it was an pact of the elites to implement the neoliberal model. And who's leading that is a Marxist sociologist, Fernando Henrique Cardoso. He's the president, and he used to be a theorist of the left. He's leading this, the neoliberal elites and allies. He's the one who helped to revitalize the right wing 20 years
ago. The leftist project is
rebuilding, and it shows that the social movement and the political, the workers' party especially, but not the only one, will reach important municipalities
provinces
in Brazil. In São Paulo, for instance, that is 20 million people, that produce 60% of the GDP of Brazil, most likely in the next government, it will be administered by the Workers' Party, which is like Ontario,
in comparative proportion. From my point of view, this advance se situa numa palavra.
This is one word that can explain this. Even the 60s,
nós pensávamos a
we thought on revolution as a factor
da mudança política,
for political change.
Nos anos 90,
in the 90s,
and
at the beginning of the new century,
a centralidade da democracia e a sua radicalidade.
That the slogan is that democracy and the radicalization of it.
Da democracia no that, meu país significa não apenas
that is the slogan. It's not only talking about electoral and democratic politics at the level of election, but we're talking about to open the state to force the participation of people in the whole process. The experience of Porto Alegre with the participatory budget and others is what is part of this new growing
sociais, new
growth of the left. important sector of the people in my country that has been excluded from everything. Democratization of the state is opening the door for the left and for the people to participate again and to challenge the power. I'm concluding with this.
Our perspective is to build up an agreement among the people
that should not be commercial, business-wise oriented, and that is for that is crucial
people's participation. Because
this accord agreement is clandestine, the FTA, anti-popular, anti-national, exclusionary. They have no criteria of national interest and
no bases democráticas para tentar.
What we want is a the democratic basis to include everyone.